Because Jock Jams was cool. And we're back. We are back. This is the second half where we're going to get into what just happened in the NFL over the last week. And I'll go ahead and pick up this tough subject to start. Because mere hours after we finished recording, before we even posted last week's, news started flooding in about Marshawn Nyland, the tragic sudden passing of him. It's been a week. I'm sure it's been covered by absolutely everybody, so we don't need to get into all the nitty gritty of it. But obviously, there's some mental health concerns going on. We're still kind of getting reports in about the full context of the story. I'm not sure of the full timeline, because I know that there was a point where he's sending out kind of goodbye texts, and so someone asked for a welfare check, but I don't know if that's before or after the incident where he was supposed to be being pulled over, so I'm not sure.
Feels like logically I'm going to guess before here.
Well, yeah, I'm just confused about the welfare or the wellness check part of it, but...
Well, it seems like I don't want to assume here too much, but it feels like it was likely that his girlfriend or spouse, was potentially the one who called the welfare check-in.
And we learned today through Brian Schottenheimer's words that she's pregnant. So they've got, they're trying to raise some money to help them out. And, you know, obviously Dax got a pretty close kind of tangential vibe with this, both in losing and Dax's brother.
Solomon Thomas also had a similar situation. So there was a couple of Cowboys that were the subject, more or less.
You know, there are no silver linings, but if you had to grab at straws to try to find one. The fact the Cowboys did have a bye week this week is probably the best thing for everybody. To even begin to process any of this.
No.
It's a weird reset in a way, because the football product has been so just not desirable in a lot of ways. And I don't really think any of this has to do with the football product or anything.
No.
Marshawn lost his mother about a year ago, and then you can kind of find a bit of a situation there. But I mean, as far as the kid goes, it does make me worry more about the culture of football and the way that coaches choose to play players. Because Marshawn is, by all accounts, seems like there's not any sort of real negativity. There doesn't seem even to be much erratic behavior. The kid busted his ass to be a nothing recruit to being a really good player at Western Michigan before going second in the second round for the Cowboys. And they were really excited about him. And he has shown or had shown quite a bit of talent, and maybe it wasn't very consistent, but now you kind of understand where that situation might have been impacting things. So
yeah,
it's just one of those things where you, from a surface level, from what we get to see, it's like, this looks like a great life. This looks like a great kid with a great future. And then this happens, and it leaves you with a lot of questions about a lot of things. And honestly, for me, it's a lot of people are going to turn it into more of Marshawn's story. And I don't want to like take him away from it. But for me, it does concern me with the lack of progression in the NFL locker room, or at least how I feel like we perceive it. You know, I don't know that these guys as a whole, especially the younger ones, are taking the head trauma as seriously. And I don't know that it's fair to blame this on head trauma either, but
there's a lot of circumstances that can basically add up to all of this, like you're saying, right? Because head trauma, no joke, we don't understand right now. Like, we know what post-career athlete brain will look like. You know, those who have been affected by CTE, we don't know what it looks like in the moment and how it's affecting them, right?
At a psychological level. We also know that CTE can affect people who have played as young as just peewee and never a day in college.
Yeah, exactly. And that as well. And I think there's a lot of circumstances that could have led to all of this, right? From what you're saying, there's a lot, like some of the underlying things that we don't think about, from culture in the locker room, right? It's like this tough guy, you know, grind out, just, you know.
Even in a locker room with a guy like Dak Prescott, who's exactly. very openly,
yeah, you because, know, pro just because mental it's, health. Yeah, and for somebody who, and I wanna focus on that for 1 second, right? So for somebody like, say, like Dak, right? Prominent player in the locker room, one of the faces of the league, and you think, well, if this guy's out in the open talking about, you know, his vulnerability with mental health issues and how losing somebody close to him, you know, has affected him in his personal life, and he's being open and vulnerable about it, surely that opens that lane up for everybody else. But at the same time, that could also be working against him, because like, hey, this is Dak. He can say that. He can be vulnerable. Not you. You need to earn that. That could be one of those things that is embedded into football culture, how these coaches talk to these players as well. Sure, that's not all coaches. That's not all organizations, right? There might be organizations who have set themselves up to really give their athletes a chance to be vulnerable, to be able to explore their mental health in a safe environment during or, you know, after the season concludes. But those are things that we don't hear about. And if those do exist, right, it would behoove the league to highlight that, especially considering what just happened, right? And this isn't the first instance that we've had a player had this happen, right? Famously, I believe it was Junior Seau, if I'm not mistaken. Now, he was no longer in the league.
This all really began with, was it Dave Duerson? Was the corner for Chicago from the 85 Bears? I remember being a kid, and I'd never really known that much about the 85 Bears other than they were a good defense, right? I didn't really know who all consists. I think Singletary, because he's a Waco guy. But, like, other than that, I really didn't know much about him. And Dave Duerson was, like, their starting corner, if I remember correctly. And then he was the first one publicly, I believe, he committed suicide. And then they found a bunch of, like, evidence.
Yeah, he self-inflicted gunshot wound to the chest. And then he had requested his brain be sent to Boston University.
Yeah, and so that was really the first time that it was really put on the map. I mean, maybe, and obviously it had to have been a factor prior, but Dave Duerson was the first time that we had.
Yeah. And it's been a while since we had a situation like this. And I think maybe the NFL has been kind of hoping that this hasn't something that fans would think about, players would think about, but now things like this happen with Marshawn Nealand. And one thing that I think that I wanted to also bring up for the general audience, because you mentioned it earlier, like, you know, on the outside, they're living this great life. You know, they're professional athletes. They play in front of millions of people on television, thousands every, you know, 16, 17 day, like weeks out of the year, all this good stuff. And, you know, they're making lots of money, but what we don't see is the pressure to perform, right? We don't live these guys' lives. A lot of these guys, they are on the razor's edge of trying to keep this career, which is very fleeting. You know, it's what, 3-4 year average for the lifespan of an NFL player's career, right? So you take that into consideration. You take everything that's happened prior to them even making it to the league. And we don't know what a lot of these guys' home lives were like prior to them joining the league, when they're in the league. So you have all of these external pressures on top of their own pressure to succeed, perform to the best of their abilities, contribute to their to hopefully a winning team. And if they're losing, a losing locker room can spiral in itself, be a very negative place to be at. So can winning locker rooms as well. I don't want to, you know, discredit that either. I'm just saying there are a lot of circumstances that people don't think about when we get a story like Marshawn Nealand, right? And the mother passing away. We don't know what his own thoughts were like being in the spotlight, being a Dallas Cowboy, being on the most covered team in the league, we know that they are constantly in the news cycle for better or for worse, for those players in the organization, in the locker room. We don't, that's the thing. We just don't know. And so it's, we should always give these players some grace when it comes to them opening up about their mental health. You know, guys like Dak for the Dallas Cowboys, for example, I know AJ Brown, when he was with the Tennessee Titans, he was out and open about his own struggles. Lane Johnson with the Philadelphia Eagles as well. And I'm sure there've been other players around the league who've been trying to spotlight mental health. Now it's up to the league to really step to the plate and really promote this, because you don't want to have situations like this anymore.
Yeah, and I don't want to take away from any of what y'all put out there, but I will say specifically with someone who actually is experiencing some kind of daily mental health struggle. First, you can offer all the branches you want. You know, you can hold your hand out as much as you want. Some people just aren't going to take it, because that's what the crippling anxiety and fear and depression do for them. So even without, you know, the factors of the pressures of the game, sometimes people are just depressed. You know, I remember being 18 or 19 and trying to talk about it with one of my friends, and he asked, "What are you depressed about?" I'm like, that's not like, but you know, if you've never experienced anything like that, if you don't know anything like that, that's a valid question that I don't, the only answer I have is nothing.
And that's what I was going to say is like, I think the answer is all of the things you guys have said, but really the most important one is, especially for these NFL locker rooms, but it can apply to anything, is not pretending to be the expert yourself. Yes, opening the communication is great, but actually just simply encouraging the help with experts is the best path forward, right?
Like, yeah, I think
ultimately the thing is, the NFL locker room is competitive. Life is competitive. People have a lot of things going on in their life. It really is a service that is needed by professionals in this world. So that's just the understanding I think people have to get to.
Yeah.
And if they get to that, I think it leaves the world open to better situations where maybe this can be prevented. And of course, maybe it just can't.
And then, yeah, there's also the factor of maybe, you know, the CTE, just like certain drugs can do, are going to exacerbate a problem, not necessarily create it, but exacerbate it.
And to kind of follow up on what you were talking about a little bit ago, Patrick, when it comes to depression, because I myself have struggled with it myself, sometimes and I've known many people who, you know, deal with their own forms of anxiety, depression, everything along, you know, the mental health spectrum. Sometimes it can just be as simple as a chemical imbalance that you were born with and you have to live with, right? And then, of course, life happens and that can exacerbate that right there, and it can spiral, right? And so I just want to put that out there for people who may not be familiar with, you know, all of the causes of depression and just any kind of mental health disorder out there. Sometimes it can be as simple as, you know, a chemical imbalance that you're born with, or it can stem from traumatic brain injuries. It can stem from traumatic moments in somebody's life. There's a myriad of causes to this, and I just want people to be aware of it. And, you know, that way, if you're aware, you can become a little bit more educated about what people are going through, and, you know, you can offer support to others who may not be able to support themselves.
At least just like maybe sort of kind of empathize and grasp on your own, you know.
Yeah, that is
Need people reaching out to me as much as I just want you to like get it and not.
Yeah,
you know, then we don't have to deal with it.
I think it's funny too, because I come from a long history of suck it up hillbilly culture, right? And I think the funniest part is that often what I understand about mental health help is that you do end up finding that exact mental space, but through a much more logical place where your brain can actually follow it, where it's not just saying a phrase or just, you know, ignoring something. You literally just kind of move on from it, therefore sort of do the thing you were always thinking you were doing. So that's the other funny part, is there's a bit of an irony to the suck it up story version of it, you know. But it is a lineage we, a lot of us, come from, and football's entrenched in it heavy. So it's why I think it was important here.
I'll go ahead and let us wrap that up so we can get to some actual football and some fun.
There's one still not fun story, but we got it while we're still in this space. Just
okay.
Yeah. Now this one's not as
this one happens.
Different vibe.
This is a different vibe. This one's more just this natural part of life. Paul Tagliabue, former NFL commissioner from, I believe it was 1989 to 2006, passed away. I believe it was 2 days ago when the story broke.
Tagliabue.
So, for a lot of us, he was the commissioner of us, you know, being fans of the game in our childhoods. Just to kind of highlight some of the things that he did.
If I'm being honest, I always remember him for being the Brett Favre guy.
That's a good one. Now, for some of the things that he accomplished and some of the things that happened under his time in the NFL, we can start with some positives. So he oversaw a myriad of new stadiums being built throughout the league, negotiated some of the more lucrative television contracts that really set the bar for what television contracts are today, right? He also was a very important figure in instituting the Rooney Rule. Now, whether you think the Rooney Rule is a net positive, a net neutral, that's up to you. But that is something that he did have a hand in, right?
Nice.
That's a good one. Yeah. And then, of course, he did oversee a couple of things that not so positive, right?
Ooh, can I throw in one more good one before you get to the not so positives?
Yeah, yeah.
What was it? 1993. They were supposed to have the Super Bowl in Arizona, but Arizona passed some law saying they're not going to honor Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So he moved the Super Bowl to Pasadena that year instead.
That's very good.
That is a very good one. All right. Now
they got the Super Bowl 3 years later. Don't know if they changed the law. That is not denoted here.
they probably. They probably saw how much Pasadena made, and they're like, okay, now just...
I don't know. Did Carolina ever figure out their bathroom thing, or is the NBA still not playing there? What are we doing?
All of that actually did work, I believe. Some of that was also just like we're seeing now, like misguided political optics by people thinking they're in charge forever.
Sorry.
You're good. Some of the more negative things about his tenure as commissioner... the first one, he lost two teams in Los Angeles, right, with the Rams and the Raiders. And then he was presiding over the NFL when the Cleveland Browns, the original Cleveland Browns, lost their team to the city of Baltimore. And then they got back in an expansion, but really that the city has never really recovered from that in terms of seeing what they got now. Versus what, you know, that
really is like a dumb clone. Like, it's just not smart enough, but it's like, it looks like it. It looks like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, think about those Brown fans. They look at the Baltimore Ravens success and they're like, that should be our team. That should be our team. But it's not. And then another thing that is a negative mark in Tagliabue's tenure as commissioner. We talked about CTE, his time. One of the things that plagued the NFL even back then was the lack of progress in dealing with head trauma and concussions. And I believe there's an interview in like 2017, Tagliabue like made some remarks, right? He apologized for something that he said years and years ago, where he said he didn't have the proper data at the time. What he called concussions, and I quote, one of those packed journalism issues, and contended the number of issues is, quote again, is relatively small. The problem is the journalist issue, end quote. So not great, right? But that is the life of a sports commissioner. There's going to be some good. There's going to be some bad.
One more bad thing he did. He stopped the Saints from leaving New Orleans to go to San Antonio.
It think the Saints need to stay in New Orleans. That's basically all they got, you know?
Yeah, and
like they're going to lose.
Dude, if I was a kid and they moved a team to San Antonio, I would have been all over that. I didn't care about Houston. If they had moved a team to San Antonio, I would have been all about that.
Oh, and I didn't and even mention the part where
like Jerry had a big hand in that as well.
Yeah, Tagliabue did introduce, what, like six teams to the NFL?
Something crazy like that. He did oversee some expansion.
That was just an expansion-heavy time for all the sports.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's Paul Tagliabue there for
you. We can blame him for playing in Europe, but that probably would have happened no matter what. So
now, that definitely would have happened no matter what. And even then, like, he didn't...
The failed NFL Europe project?
Well, that and the international series, but...
Was the international series not a Goodell thing? I feel like that's Goodell.
I think the first games happened under Goodell, but I think they were working on it.
They might have laid the groundwork during the Tagliabue era, but as far as I'm concerned, that's Goodell, baby.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there is that. Anyway, I guess we can continue on with some more news and notes in the NFL. This one is a funny one. The current president of the United States is trying to lobby for his name to be placed on the new Washington Commanders stadium.
Well, it might be put on a new list in a couple weeks.
They showed their support for that by immediately booing him that day.
Oh, there's photos of people flicking him off. It's fantastic. I think there was one semi-funny video.
Also, this happened to him pretty much every time he's attended a football game.
We forgot to mention in the Nico stuff that the kid who like went viral for flipping off Patrick Dumont was seen talking to him courtside a few days later.
Dumont's PR team has been good. They've been good so far.
So far, so good. Yeah. This is funny. I highly doubt there is
covering genocide.
There's a 99% chance that this doesn't happen at all. So this is right now, it's a non-story, but it is just a funny one to mention. Another thing that we don't want to mention, and this one is coming back into a more semi-serious, definitely serious, but not as heavy. This is Antonio Brown, who pled not guilty to attempted murder charges stemming from an amateur boxing match where there was a shooting incident.
I was like, he really beat someone up that bad, huh?
No, sir. No.
Probably shouldn't make jokes. I don't know enough about the situation. It's just hard to talk about Antonio Brown without making jokes.
Yeah, Antonio Brown, he posted bail. He has a GPS monitor on him at all times right now as part of his bail. Now, this charge carries a potential 15-year prison sentence and a fine up to $10,000 if convicted. According to the story here, both of Brown's attorney and the prosecutor raised doubts during Wednesday's hearing about how the victim themselves was injured. Right? I don't think there's a name out for the victim yet. It'll be interesting. He did get the worst
prosecutor of all time.
Right? Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, he was, what's it called when someone gets, he was extradited. Yeah, he was extradited from Dubai to get to this court hearing. So there is that. We'll find out more information.
I didn't think he had done so well with his money that he was going to be able to last forever out there.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But either way, Brown, we'll see what happens to him and what the ruling is and how the court case proceeds.
Does this mean I won't be... No, I don't want to say it.
Okay.
Do you know the hashtag that he gives for white dudes when they excel?
Yes.
When they do what?
When they do well.
What does he say?
It's
you get a hashtag.
Cracker of the week.
Oh, do you use cracker?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
What do you think?
And then he has another.
No, I don't do the other one either. I thought I thought he was going soft A on me.
He might. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But he also finishes off those same tweets about, you know, those athletes with hashtag CTSPN.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, he ain't wrong.
Nope, not at all. But just another thing to add into the kind of sad turnaround, sad second half of what we know to be Antonio Brown's life. Post Vontaze Perfect.
I was gonna say there's an MCU split timeline where Perfect misses him, and
or Perfect just not in the league.
He wins an MVP.
Steelers win. Yeah, Steelers win four rings. And
no, I mean, it's crazy, dude. Because I don't think I've ever seen a non-running back or quarterback deserve MVP more than he did one season, and it's gone so far away from that.
Yeah, it is a sad turn of events for his career, but alas, that is the NFL at the moment, or that is his life at the moment. Now, let's move on to some more news. So, Jaire Alexander, who just got traded from the Baltimore Ravens to the Philadelphia Eagles, has decided to step away from the game of football to, in his own words, to work on himself both physically and mentally. The Eagles today, as of today of this recording, have placed him on the injured reserve / retired list. Now, he has not officially retired. He hasn't turned in his retirement papers to the league. So we'll see what happens, right?
Where did y'all give up on that one? That's just was it already conditional late?
It wasn't conditional, but it was like a six. I think it was like a sixth or seventh round pick.
So it's 2026, and then you got Yeah.
We did a pick swap with them, I think.
You guys gave up a seventh pick as well. I'm just trying to figure out, so if he doesn't play, Baltimore then has to, does Philly even care? Oh, you guys, you guys give up a sixth and then get a seven.
So at this point, it's just a pick swap.
Do you think the Eagles just take the L?
Yeah. I think they do. Yeah, there's really not much that they can do.
They took a flyer because they have a need.
I also feel like when you're in this business, you'd probably be a little bit more bitchy about that kind of stuff.
If
there's one team that can afford to take an L.
I don't think Howie. Yeah, I don't think Howie's. I don't think we're allowed to question it too much about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's from an Eagles fan perspective, you're a little oh man, I kind of wanted to see what he would look like in the uniform and how he would play. But
now you get to keep him in the back pocket though, right? And if he doesn't officially retire, then every week you can just be like
in uniform.
What about Jaire Alexander? What about now you can just do that all season.
I don't think he's
some boogeyman that's coming. Time the Eagles suck.
Oh God, please! I don't need one of those. Listen. So he's 28 years old. Multiple I believe he's had multiple leg injuries.
Yeah, you're 3 years removed from him being a big impactful player on a winning team.
Yeah, and him stepping away.
He was good, dude. He was really fucking good.
He was great, man. He lived up to his first round selection. I think he was the 18th overall pick in either 2018 or 2019. But listen, the Eagles will be okay. I mean, he was going to be a flyer anyway. He was just going to be a flyer. Do you have anything left? They probably saw in his few practices with the team that he was probably done. They probably talked with him about, hey, are you sure you want to keep doing this? And if it wasn't the team that did that, maybe somebody in this camp was like, are you sure you really want to keep trying at this? You're just not the same. And he probably knows he's not the same. And, hey, I don't fault the guy for walking away from the game. Walk away. You've made your money. Hopefully you've managed your money well. And as we've seen, there is plenty of room for, former players in the content space one way or another. Shout out to Jaire Alexander. He's going to go down as one of the Eagles of all time.
Like a used car dealership or something.
Now, another person. Let's talk about some more people who are out.
Go cash in on the city of Green Bay.
Maybe.
Aaron Rodgers' house is probably still for sale.
Yeah, dude. You can buy a car wash there.
You can probably buy a laundromat.
Hey, too. I didn't say this earlier, but I did appreciate Micah's handling of the situation with Marshawn as well. It was good that Micah was also a little extra with his part of it too, and his comments and all that good stuff.
Oh yeah, I missed all that. I just saw the picture of him kneeling on the sideline.
He talked a lot too, and it was all very positive stuff. He had sounded like he had actually probably gotten back into contact with guys he may not have contacted since the trade and stuff. So
that would make sense. Yeah.
All right. We'll continue on with our news and notes. Travis Hunter is out for the year with an LCL injury. Who knows what this means for his career in terms of playing both sides of the ball, but I assume his agent, his coaches, are going to try to talk to him into playing one side and focus on that one side. It is a sad kind of end for the season to Travis Hunter's season. Right?
This happened because of
No, I'm not sure if this happened because of, you know, him playing both ways. I know they were managing his snaps, but I'm sure if he had just focused on one side of the ball, maybe there's less wear and tear on that particular ligament. I'm not sure. I just do know, though, it is sad that, you know, the guy, I believe it was, what, the second overall pick in the draft to have his season end like this. I'm like, come on, man. He has so much talent, and he can be such a good player. So we'll see what ends up happening, how he bounces back. I know LCL injuries, though, are not nearly as serious as ACLs. And so that timeline of when he'll return is probably a lot shorter, too. So there is that bright side. Now, y'all can correct me if I'm wrong if you see anything that is reported to the contrary of that. Some more news in the NFL. Guys, Travis Hunter's out for the year, but you know who's out of a job? It's not just Nico Harrison. It's the fat man himself, Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll, you're no longer going to be in the head coach Fight Club, buddy. Let me just tell you that, all right? You rolled your way out of that one. Yeah, let's talk some Daboll, shall we? You shouldn't feel bad for the guy, okay? He started off his coaching career on fire, right? 9-7, made the playoffs. I believe he earned Coach of the Year that year. And, hell, he made Daniel Jones, who at the time was looking like a bust, right? He made him look serviceable. What does he do the next year? He follows it up with 6-11. How about after that? Oh, they get even worse. 3-14, and now they are 2-8 at the time of his firing. He finishes his career with the Giants as a head coach with a 20-40-1 record. And, yeah, listen.
I also just want to say, couldn't be more thankful for the timing, because now the Giants get the very much needed fired the head coach positive aura bump at home against the Peckerheads.
Well, here is the thing. There might be some more positive news for that, Bethke, but I will get to it in just a second. All right? Because now that he is gone, right? Actually, you know what? Scrap it. I already lost my train of thought. We're just going to go skip right into it because I don't really care that much about the Giants. But I do care about this next part. Jameis Winston is now the starting quarterback in New York, potentially, if Jackson Dart is not cleared to play. So you have the post-coach fire bump, and now you get the wonderful just personality that is Jameis Winston coming in and trying to eat a W for the New York Giants against the Green Bay Packers. Now I just remembered what I was going to say. I will say this. For all of his coaching faults as a head coach, right, for Brian Daboll, it did look like he was able to identify Jackson Dart as a viable NFL starter. Joe Shane did not, who is the current Giants GM, did not want him. Daboll did fight for that guy. And it looked like he hit on that, but now he won't even get a chance to see how that plays out. He thought he could.
Mike McCarthy's music.
Oh yeah, it's Mike McCarthy.
My God.
Yeah, you switch out
that. I mean, McCarthy. Dude, I feel like that's
a lot of people thought he would go to the Bears, and it's kind of a similar spot in New York.
I think it's a more bleak situation in New York than
different quarterbacks. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You're getting Scatto back. You got Abdul Carter. There's a lot of pieces there.
On the defensive side of the ball, yes.
Offense, is there any chance that Green Bay is dumb enough to fire LaFleur?
I think there's talks about them potentially splitting, although that would be really dumb.
He has to lose the locker room so bad. They're not going to do that.
They're not going to fire him. There is a chance that he himself might want to step away from the Packers. But I haven't heard anything concrete. It's just something that I've heard on a few podcasts here and there, just speculating. But there's nothing, like I said, that's been concrete.
What if he takes the Rams job if McVay finally retires? All right, now I'm just
kidding. Mike McDaniel's job.
I mean, Mike McDaniels might actually work in New York, but I don't know.
And how cheap are the Maras? That's another question that needs to be asked here.
They don't really have money, I don't think, right? Isn't
well, you have two families. You have the Maras, and then you have the Tishes. And I know that they were not fond of recycling through coaches so much. That's why they were kind of probably holding on to Dabble longer than they probably should have. But I don't think he had that much time left on his deal anyway. So, hey, okay, just get rid of him now. Unless they gave him an extension, which I don't think they did.
Yeah, it's just the team, though.
Yeah, so we'll see. If anything, that team needs to go ahead and get rid of both the head coach and the GM. But because I want them to stay in mediocrity, keep the GM. Just keep him. Just you keep doing what you're doing, buddy. You're doing a great job leading a terrible franchise. I love to see it. Keep it up. No notes. And, yeah, that's all that I got for the news notes, unless you guys had something in the that you heard in the NFL news cycle that you wanted to bring up.
No, I mean, everyone needs to know one thing and one thing only is we're making fun of Pat McAfee, and it's funny, and just keep that energy.
Keep being mean to Pat McAfee, please.
Have you had Trump on?
No, way before it, but I'm happy that this is now a meme because of,
God,
he's getting bullied.
You know, you
bully me.
Before he really hit.
I just want you to talk to play again. You don't like the troops. You don't like the troops is what he is.
Oh, here we go. Rob Gronkowski signing a one-day contract to retire a Patriot. Robert Kraft offers to make it a two-day contract for the game against the Jets tomorrow.
That's a good bit right there. Anyway, gentlemen, I just want to say one last thing on the Pat McAfee. Stop giving these idiots with a mic a huge platform. Unless it's us. We could be those idiots.
McAfee is ESPN now. He gets to decide everything.
Not unless Stephen A. Smith has anything to say about it, which...
Yeah, I just want Pat McAfee to know, I never watched, will not watch, and I'm going to continue to keep the same energy for you, brother. So there you go. I never switched up. So there you go. There's the other side of this. So
when I saw it on TV, when I was at Cane Rosso on Halloween, and he's wearing that like scary Jerry Jones costume. What is going on here?
I will say the only time I've ever enjoyed, I guess you can say enjoy any of his content is when it was wrestling related and it had nothing to do with like professional sports. And even now, but now that's lost its value too. So TikTok, someone get the little rabbit. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the rabbit that's pointing at a clock, right?
Oh yeah.
If you're familiar with that meme, but I think that meme now needs to apply to Pat McAfee and his time in ESPN. And that's just because I just think he sucks.
Last thing before we move on, John Gruden actually said something we all might agree with, which is that we need to get rid of Thursday night football. Not going to happen, but it's the right call.
Dude, the NFL's going to respond to that by creating Tuesday night football.
Yeah. I'm here to say I've been 100% in agreement.
Work,
Thursday night football has always been a bad idea.
It just depends. If both teams get like 10 days instead of 7 days,
Thursday night football, if both teams
no one should be
play on Thursday night coming off a bye week, I'm for that because you let them rest. And yeah, they'll have a mini bye built into that. That's totally fine. But all these teams play on such short rest and you're putting out shitty games and you're getting all these injuries, and the NFL is just like, well, there's no data to back up these injuries. There's really no proof. This guy who's getting carted off the field doesn't count. This guy who also is getting carted off the field doesn't count.
They're like, well, because he got hurt on Thursday, he'll actually be back sooner than if he got hurt on a Sunday.
Yeah, no, the NFL is just a greedy league. But alas, what league isn't at this point? Yeah, enough of that. Gentlemen, you know what time it is. Yeah, the trumpets, you hear all of that.
Is that Elton John I hear a little bit? Is there Alicia Keys?
What's happening? I don't hear the music, Patrick. It's fine.
I keep losing you.
Oh, heard. Well, anyway, wait, it's time for the lowlights, the highlights. It's time for all of the lights of the week that was. Gentlemen, there is plenty to love, plenty to laugh at this week. And so I'm going to bring it to you. Okay, first and foremost, this made me really laugh. Some referees, I feel like they missed their calling in life. This one is one of them, because look at the way this guy dodges a haymaker on Monday Night Football. Boom! Jalen Hunt almost knocked him out, and the ref just, whoop! Did you see that shoulder roll? That guy is ready to be a defensive boxer. I'm just saying, that ref could have had his head taken off, but he didn't, because he just too quick with it. Now, staying on Monday Night Football, let's look at what I like to call the Super Shank. Now, the events that preceded this kick were really fucking stupid. Just some of the dumbest football that I have ever seen the Philadelphia Eagles play. And then also some bad officiating, allowing a practice kick to go off without any sort of penalty. But you know what? The Green Bay Packers were forced to try to kick this game-winning field goal again anyways. And so, with the way the league's been going, the number of 60-yard kicks that have been made, could the Green Bay Packers also have their own 60-yard field goal made? Well, the answer is obviously not, because this dude just hooks that shit all the way to the left. My goodness.
I mean, McManus has at least it's a guy who feels like there's a possibility that maybe he could have at least gotten close.
Look, see, this first attempt, it was not close, but it was at least in the general vicinity of the crossbar. This one, which was his second attempt, no shot.
Just, that's what they're going to give us for the second half. They might as well have just let it stay tied 0-0 just for the fun.
That was awful. That was an awful football game. I don't care what the broadcast was saying. Because the end of the broadcast was saying this was a great defensive battle. I'm like, sure, it doesn't take away from the fact that both offenses are
now we're back right now. Now we're back to AJ Brown sad coin.
Okay, first, don't get me started on the AJ Brown thing. I already got worked up from Nico Harrison.
No, I know. I was just looking at people fucking talking about him a second ago.
Yeah, and he's already explained
his money going over the middle. And...
Yeah, no. Anyway, let's look at some bad football plays from
fantasy team.
Jordan Love here, because what is this? That was the funniest fucking fumble I've ever seen in my life.
That right there is a pick going up right there. Every one of those just is another assist to a worse record.
God, that is the dumbest fumble I've ever seen, because he could just hold the ball. They didn't force the ball out. He threw that ball up. Why? Jordan Love, what is going through your head? You know what?
I need to see the close-up of what's going on as he pulls his arm up, because I'm guessing he loses it somewhere in there, but it does look like he pulls it up and then just kind of like...
It popped out. Word. It's just like boom, boom, boom. But I'll tell you what was going through his head. It was this. And And now it's time for the next Monday Night Highlight, the only good offensive play of the day. It was everyone's favorite Slim Reaper, Devonta Smith, going up, high-pointing the ball for the 36-yard touchdown completion. Ah, what a beauty. This guy is having, I don't want to call it a breakout year, but because of the bad offense, the fact that the coaches can't get A.J. Brown involved, Devonta Smith has been feasting on these jump balls and these deep touchdowns, and we're seeing that he should be in the conversation for one of the best receivers in the league if he isn't already. Now, let's go for some more wide receiver highlights. This one courtesy of a Minnesota Viking, not named Justin Jefferson.
McCarthy to the back of the end zone. It's Naylor reaching out. He got his feet in. It's a touchdown.
Whoops, I thought I took the audio off of that, but you saw the toe tap.
Oh, good.
What an incredible catch from Naylor on that one.
Look, man, if we can just build up that offensive line, I'm excited about the pieces we have in the skill position spots.
Oh, for sure. A great offensive line will elevate any quarterback. We have seen that.
And JJ, I mean, JJ's showing pretty good little flashes. He hasn't put together a complete, full, great game yet, but this is still his first season, so whatever.
There you go. All right. Now, let's see how a certain quarterback in Pittsburgh plays under rusher. I hope the audio is not on this one too. Oh, it's not. Beautiful. Aaron Rodgers goes back to pass. Khalil Mack on the rush. I don't know what he was thinking here, but he just
thought that tackle was gonna help out.
I don't know why he thought that, since he's so far in front of the tackle. Either way, very silly play from Aaron Rodgers. Gets called for the safety there. Now, guys.
That one hurt me, if I recall.
I have to be the first to, well, maybe not the first, but maybe one of the few that is on any recorded platform criticizing Josh Allen. Listen, I'm watching Josh Allen play some stupid football, and nobody is calling him out for it on the national scale. But you know what?
What if he's
doesn't
just
matter.
Bored? What if he's just bored of the? It, this is like
these
this
games don't mean anything to him.
This season's like 50 years long every year, dude.
And he's proven that he can't get it done in the playoffs at this point. So he needs to fucking get his shit together now. He does not have the luxury of being able to like, I'll phone it in and I'll turn it on in the playoffs. I need to see you make a Super Bowl before you get there, buddy. But anyway,
based on his clip titles, I think he might be doing something with feces.
Yes, it's called Josh Allen Poops the Bed.
Oh.
Because
all I see is Josh Allen poop.
Well, that's what this throw is right here. Poop it play. Is absolute shit.
Ooh, that is bad.
That is a bad throw. Trying to lead a comeback against the lowly Dolphins.
Yeah, I didn't see a second of that game, but I kept seeing the score and was very confused.
I was
everybody
so
partied too hard in Miami.
In the division game.
Classic.
Yeah. But guys, this one's funny too. The Buffalo Bills, who were one of the more prominent teams in voting against the Tush Push, who've ran the Tush Push as much as the Eagles have this season, voting against the play.
Can't be
well. The gods, the football gods, they decided. You know what? It's time for some funny karmic revenge of some sorts. I don't know.
Ball don't lie.
Let's watch this. Tush push. Josh Allen drags a defender and then just pops the ball.
He's doing too much.
That's how you lose a game.
Oh, man. He it's so beautiful.
Dolphins got the 30 after that?
What?
How did the Dolphins still have time to score two touchdowns? What was going on? It doesn't matter.
The Bills did not give a shit, apparently.
And they're not going to go far this year. I can clearly tell. Let's look at this wonderful touchdown by JSN in Seattle, shall we?
Jackson.
Sam Darnold, play action, rolls to his left, heaves it down the field into the breadbasket for JSN on the touchdown. What a beautiful catch and throw, or throw and catch, rather. Now, guys,
another game that pissed me off. I saw the score. I'm like, oh, good good thing I started Sam Darnold in fantasy this week. And I look, he threw 12 passes.
They didn't really need to do much to beat the Cardinals.
Because this is what I get for beating the Cardinals. 20-plus yard fumble return touchdown.
Yeah, he did two tutties.
Oh, yeah, and we'll get there. Trust me, we will get there. Now, what was beautiful about that is that the football gods reminded me I should never be picking outside of that one Monday night football game against the Cowboys. I should never be picking for the Cardinals because they are led by Jonathan Gannon, who is bitch made and spineless. But you know who's not spineless? It's Henderson, Travion Henderson for the New England Patriots. Because look at this, breaks the tackle and then just takes it all the way for the go ahead touchdown against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh my goodness, what a run!
The 8-2 Patriots, just like we all expected.
Yeah, and what's not shown in this, really, the fullback right here is a defensive tackle who takes out 5 defenders for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There's an image out there on the internet that I should have uploaded on here, but it just shows the result of his block, and it's beautiful. If you like some plays. Now, guys, I want to remind people, Sam Darnold, for the majority of his career, was a pumpkin, all right, as they like to call bad quarterbacks. And sure, he has had some recent success in his new environments, but there's times where, well, he reverts back to the Sam Darnold of old, top back the pass, and he just throws as bad of an interception as you will ever see.
Had to be tipped, right?
Even if it's tipped, the general trajectory of that ball, still, there's nobody in that vicinity. Like, even if he's throwing to a number 11, he's throwing into tight coverage. Yeah, that's bad. Now, if there's an all 22 that shows that there, was somebody on the far end on the other side, then sure, I guess that's tip ball and you can't really blame it on him, but I am, for the sake of the bit. All right, let's look into some good clutch QB play from the Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams, not with his arm, but with his leg on the bootleg, runs it for the touchdown to take the lead against the New York Giants in what was too close of a game for my liking because I picked the Bears. I got that pick right, but man, the Giants make it look closer than it should have been. All right, what's next, gentlemen? This guy's going to be the offensive player of the year. But I say, he probably should get the MVP this season. It is Jonathan Taylor, who took it 83 yards, runs up the middle, looks like he's dead to rights. Nope! Breaks the tackle, breaks another tackle, and then he goes all the way to the house. 83 yards for the Indianapolis Colts running back. What a hell of a play. Hell of a run. Hell of a season for that guy. Seriously, I think there was a point in time where he got injured and it was not looking great for him. He wasn't coming back from that injury as well. I think that was last year or the year before that. And then he's back and better than ever.
There was a lot of people that wanted the Cowboys to go after him, and then obviously the reality of that is what it is with the Joneses. But even just if there was a perfect world, there were still a lot of people that were arguing against it like he was some sort of nothing. I'm like, I don't know. That seems like it'd be a pretty fucking useful player. Indianapolis ends up holding with him and paying the price, or paying the dividends.
Yep, and I accidentally pressed on this one. Anyway, this one, big man touchdown. Trevor Lawrence.
Who is that? Is that a Minnehu? Who is that?
I'm not sure.
Houston always has some ex-Texas guys.
You know what that got us, right? Scoregami.
Oh, did it?
What's the Scoregami?
36-29.
Oh, all right.
That you only get because they score a touchdown on the last play of the game, so they don't kick the extra point or anything.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Okay, it's number 90 for the Houston Texans. Patrick, if you can look up who that is. But yeah, I want to talk about this because
Sheldon
game on the line. Trevor Lawrence has been so bad. He's looking like a bust of
Oh, you didn't get the clip of the coach? The clip of the coach is fucking hilarious. That's the only thing I saw from this game.
Oh, yeah, no, where he's just...
He chucks the headset in the car. You fuck it. I'm out of here.
Listen, guys, do not be surprised. This is me theorizing, speculating. But I think the Jacksonville Jaguars will move on from Trevor Lawrence in the offseason. He's New just not been that guy. What's up?
New York Jets.
New Orleans Saints.
Saints are going too.
I think it might be closer to the Saints than the Jets. But we'll see. Now, I wanna take the world back into the mind of the back quarterback just one last time. Because, well, this one is also a bad interception. So just remember, audience, this is what goes through every bad quarterback's brain. All right, there's nothing going on except Squirtle on the saxophone. And here we go. It's bad Mac Jones.
Oh, man, back.
Disgusting interception to Emmanuel Forbes in what would be a blowout in the Bay. Yeah, bad quarterback play there. Listen, I know there are some people speculating that maybe Mac Jones wrestles the spot away in San Francisco. I say it doesn't matter who the QB in San Francisco is. As long as it's going to be a guy who's middle of the pack in terms of talent, they're always going to have these kinds of results and shortcomings because what's his fucking face? Just does not care to actually coach elite talent because he just wants it to be all about himself. Cal Shanahan, grow up.
I'm calling it now. San Francisco is back to the doldrums. Banished. 10 years of bad luck.
I can't wait. That's what they deserve. Them and that fan base. Oh, shit. Now, next up, we got to show some love for a guy that, Bethke, I think he was near and dear to your heart when he was a Dallas Cowboy. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. But Tank Lawrence had himself a hell of a day for the Seattle Seahawks.
This the Hot Boys, bro. The Marvin Overshawn still doing the Hot Boys thing, by the way.
There you go. And look at this. The man's making some Hot Boy plays. Because there is a fumble, and there is a scoop, and there is a score. The
zero fucking kills me, bro.
My goodness, Tank Lawrence.
He went from the most defensive lineman number ever to fucking zero.
Yeah. Hey, man, people want to wear zero. I
get it.
It's new. A lineman wears zero, that's foul.
It's not as fun. I mean, for Overshawn, double it's fun because he's cool. Because he's a linebacker that's going to run around a lot. If it's a running back or a receiver, I think it's fun. Quarterback, kind of interesting. I don't know. I think quarterback, it might become a thing eventually.
I think if a quarterback wears it, he has to be good.
Yeah, you do have to be good, though. You do really have to be good if you're going to wear zero as a quarterback.
Yeah. Actually, you have to be good at any position if you wear zero because just the jokes
write themselves. I think you're right. Quarterback – in particular, if you're putting zero on, you better be nails.
Yeah, you got to be him, as they say. Now, Tank Lawrence did not stop here because Tank Lawrence got himself a second touchdown. And this one, he not only causes the strip sack, he recovers it and takes it to the house. He is only the second player in NFL history, a defensive player in NFL history, to recover two fumbles for touchdowns in the same game.
I think that is some of the most Jerry Jones karmaic shit in the world, though, for real. Is letting one of your best guys go, even though it's D-Law and it's still having that effect. That shit is too funny.
Sorry, I am trying to move some of these videos around. All right. Now, guys, we're not going to end things here. We have three more videos to go. And you know what? We're going to show some love to the special teams units because this one, I've never seen a field goal unit get set and ready faster than the Cleveland Browns. So, Dylan Gabriel goes back to pass, gets sacked. The New York Jets start to celebrate on defense, thinking they've ended the half. The New York Jets, who have a timeout, by the way, could use the timeout. Instead, hurry up to the line and get the kickoff with 1 second left on the clock and drill it to send it into the half, tied 17-17.
Oh, win for the procedure, folks.
Oh, yes. The procedure, folks, you get your own highlight today. Now, this one should be a highlight for Devon Achan. And it is, because you know what? This guy just takes to the house, makes a man miss in the hole, makes another man miss, and then no one on Buffalo's defense is fast enough to get to him for the 58-yard touchdown score. So, Patrick, you're wondering how they put up two touchdowns? Big plays, baby, big plays.
I like how at the end he was being begged by that man to give the ball, and he didn't really want to, and then he just kind of reluctantly does.
Such is the life of an NFL player, I think. They're just always, like, once they get into the end, they're like, hey, man, give me the ball, give me the ball. I'm like, if I was the player, I'm like, no.
I would just have a room in my house, in my mansion, just full of footballs I've collected.
Yeah, like, if anything, I'll give you my game towel. Yeah, how about that?
Here's my jock.
Yeah, how about my mouthpiece? Something that I can easily get a replacement for from the trainers. All right. And then this is the last highlight of the day, and I think it's fitting. It didn't lead for a score, but god damn, it's so exciting. All I could say is, it's a hurdle! That man just cleared him! Oh, goodness gracious! I would hate to be a defender.
The tearaway jersey at the end is nice.
Yeah, just to be hurdled like that. Let's look at it again. Clears a defender.
Clean, yeah.
Just completely clean. Warren, I forget his first name, from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Woo! What a play.
Warren Buffett.
Beatty.
Yes, Warren Beatty. Buffett. The third. And look at that. Speaking of a number zero, there's a number zero right there. Just not making the tackle when he should have. Either way, guys, that's been the highlights, the lowlights, all of the lights of the week that was. Now, gentlemen, we move on to the picks category. Patrick, tell us, how do we do this week?
Well, we actually do gain a game on Jesus this week. We took two. He took one. We're now seven games behind him.
With 6 weeks left to go?
With 6 weeks left to go. No, there's more than that, right? Because isn't there 18 weeks?
There's 18 weeks, yes.
No, there's 20 weeks now.
Not yet. We're getting there. But as far as our individual picks, here's a little peeky for you.
I am two games back of him at an individual standpoint and seven games ahead of you guys.
Yeah, I mean,
never picking the Vikings.
Hanging again. Around, doing our thing.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Uh-huh.
Baker now, let me down.
The Cardinals,
rough week for all of us. Caesar won the week at 8-6. And then
you showed it at one point. I was like 2-7, and I was like, I'm not looking at this again. Yeah, pulling
500. Bethke started off 2-0, lost seven straight, then won 5. Ours aren't too dissimilar. They're just not perfectly stacked like that. And the way I do it with the colors, it looks really funny just to see so many red in a row. Yeah, when the afternoon games were starting, I was like, Bethke might have the worst week any of us ever have.
And then I just fucking nail off 5 in a row. Yeah, that's about it. That makes sense.
When I was looking at that and keeping track, I was like, wow, this is a rough day for Bethke. And then
especially because like I really was in my gut wanting to pick the Saints and I just didn't. So that's unfortunate.
I'm trying to see what was the game that stood me out from the rest of the pack because I
picked the Panthers.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But I knew in my gut that I should have picked the Saints for some stupid reason.
But I did continue my perfect season for picking Tampa Bay Bucks games. So that's my last bastion of something good to come out of this. Take a look at our division. Bad Seas looks like he's pretty good on that. Our actual awards picks not looking too hot, except for maybe the Miles Garrett and Abdul Carter ones.
I still have hope of nailing two of the four, or I guess three of the four NFC conferences. Houston's done, Baltimore's done, but I still got Buffalo and KC, maybe. Although I don't think KC wins the division. I don't think KC makes the playoffs. That's a hot take right there.
Kansas City.
They put themselves in a bad spot, but I think they're good enough to get back in there a little bit.
But the NFL just added the play in. Don't they have
isn't there a team
in the playoff now?
No, they gave one team a bye in the playoffs, so the one seed.
I am being a hater. I just feel like the NFL doesn't have as much chaos to be giving us this much product. You know, college football is a chaotic product. Therefore, if you so choose, it can be rewarding to watch as much. Pro football, bro, like we know, like goddamn, bro, we know what, like some of these teams are so fucking boring and so bad too.
I will say, though, this year feels like it has a little bit more parity. I'm not just basing that off the fact that we are.
No, I know, which is why, but we already know for the most part. Like, I only need about 5 more weeks to really tell which teams I need in the playoffs by now, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Now, with all of that being covered, let's talk about the picks that we're making this week. All right. So, for the New England Patriots against the Jets, we are all in agreement that the Patriots should take this one home. Patrick, you're on the fence about Miami, Washington. I don't blame you. These are not good teams playing against each other.
There's no good choice.
There really isn't. No, there's not at all. Although, I guess at this point, it's like, who do you trust more, Tua or Marcus Mariota? Again, not great. That in itself.
It's just who's partying in Miami, you know? That's the situation you got to go with.
Yep. And then Atlanta, Carolina, that's another game that's hard to pick. But the Falcons, they might just Falcon it up and fuck it up. You never know. Yeah.
It's true. One team could win, one team could lose. The other possibility is that they could
tie.
Yeah. So all of those things you should look out for.
Absolutely. Then you have a game that is actually difficult because both teams are good. You have the Buffalo Bills hosting Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Buffalo has been up and down, despite, you know, being a contender in the AFC. Tampa Bay, not off to the same hot, you know, not the same team they were early in the season. They have cooled down a bit, but you still see the explosive plays. This one should be a fun game. So, with that said, Tampa Bay has been selected by Patrick and myself to win this game, and Bethke is on the Buffalo Bills bandwagon for the week because no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Let's see. For Houston, Tennessee, Patrick's going with the upset here. He's picking the Tennessee Titans, and Bethke and I going with Houston. Chicago, Minnesota. The Bears.
Yeah,
we're picking the Bears. I'm
not picking the Vikings anymore.
Yeah, the Minnesota Vikings have not been a very kind team to me when I picked them. So I want to pick against them. Patrick, you're picking the Minnesota Vikings. It only makes sense. You are a Vikings fan. These are the Bears. They have not proven. They have not historically been proven.
No, both these teams are too inconsistent for me to really trust either of them.
Exactly. All right. Now we have Green Bay against the New York Giants. Bethke, you are on the Giants bandwagon this week. It makes sense, right? It's full Green Bay. And so, therefore, you will go with the Giants as the lesser of the two evils. And also the funnier team just to look at.
Is Mike going to get suspended for tripping Saquon Barkley?
No, he's not going to. Nothing's going to happen. It should have been a penalty. It wasn't called. It doesn't matter.
No. I want Micah to play all these games to make it better when the pick gets, you know what I mean? I want Jordan Love to do everything in his power to be the one who makes this team bad. Or the offense, I don't care who's to blame. I just hope the Packers are a top defense that manages to lose like 10 games because of offensive incompetency.
It can always happen. We've seen late season collapses before. Next game up on the docket, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Cincinnati Bengals. We are in unanimous agreement that Pittsburgh should win this game. If I'm not mistaken, didn't they lose the first matchup, right, against the Bengals?
I think they did bungle it up to Joe Burrow.
Joe Flacco.
Flacco.
All right. Well, now this one's going to be a home game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So maybe they trade a bounce back.
Steelers are a funny team, dude. Man, they're a funny one.
They're funny, but so are the Bengals. They're just hilarious. We're all in agreement that the Los Angeles Chargers should beat up on the Jacksonville Jaguars, and rightfully so. This Jacksonville team has just not been very good. They had that big win against Kansas City, and then they've just not looked good since then.
They're not good, but I don't think the Chargers are very good either. I just think they're on paper a better team, but I don't know if they're actually that much better.
I think they're just going to be a better coach team, and that might ultimately be the difference maker. They're the team that's going to make the least amount of mistakes between the two, or at least on paper they should. We got the Rams and the Seahawks. Another good game on the docket. I think the Rams might actually be the best team in the NFC. And I think they prove it here with a big
deal. Do they get a deduction for wearing the jerseys they're going to be wearing this week?
They don't, but those jerseys are heinous. I will give.
They're like blackout jerseys, but they have like a little.
Maybe worse.
They're like a weird navy. Or a weird, they're a weird blue. They're just a weird blue dark jersey. I don't know. I didn't like it. Just their color scheme is weird. They've chosen a weird color scheme, I think, or maybe the way they implement their color scheme. We got San Francisco, Arizona. Bethke, you've picked the Cardinals. I've picked the Niners, even though I hate them. I just hate Jonathan Gannon more. And then Patrick, you have picked the San Francisco 49ers as well.
I don't trust Cardinals to win another game.
And you might be right on that. But who knows? The 49ers do sometimes drop a weird game against the Cardinals. I feel like they never sweep the Cardinals. But I could be wrong on that. The Baltimore Ravens have been selected by all of us in their game against the Cleveland Browns.
I'm worried about that one, too.
That's an easy pick right there. Cleveland's just so just atrocious. Their coach might get fired at some point. Dylan Gabriel is out there being allowed to play actual real NFL snaps. That's gross. Kansas City going up against the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos are the fakest good team I've ever seen. I saw something earlier that says that Bo Nix leads the league in missed completion percentage with a clean pocket.
That's very cherry-picked, but I get where you're going at.
Well, there's also some more evidence that shows that he just leaves the most yards on the field of any starting quarterback in the league wide margin. And you could see it on the field, too. He's just not very good at the deep ball, and Denver wants to throw the ball deep, and he's just not good at it. And, he's just not – he is an average NFL starter – who is being carried by a really, really good defense, and his limitations keep being highlighted more and more that he plays. In this game, this one I actually didn't know who to pick. I picked Philly. I might change my mind. I don't know. The Detroit Lions go up against the Philadelphia Eagles, who are coming off a really bad
MAGA Lions offensive MAGA Eagles.
And, sir, there's only one guy on there that's MAGA, okay? And
that's not true.
There's one prominent, openly MAGA player on the Philadelphia Eagles, and he just so happens to be having one of his worst seasons.
He's the most MAGA cowboy right now.
The owner?
Yeah, but like, just going player alone. Keep going, I'll think. Yeah, anyway. I lean towards Dak, but I got to think.
Anyway, the Philadelphia Eagles.
George Pickens.
No. That'd be funny. Now, the Philadelphia Eagles have been selected by Patrick and I to win this game. Bethke going with the Detroit Lions. I'm not very confident in this pick. I think the Lions might win, but I'm going to be a fan. I'm going to be a homer, and I'm going to go with the Eagles because, weirdly enough, they've just beaten all the good teams that they've played. They haven't lost to a good team. They've only lost some head scratchers. And then we ended with Monday Night Football. The Dallas Cowboys against the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders, 1-3 at home. The Cowboys, 1-4 on the road. Something has to give, right? And what's four going to give is Geno Smith.
Also, probably. What? So four, beyond the obvious emotional part, there's four new Dallas Cowboy defenders. No way they can be worse than any of the four of the players that came before them this season. So that's also notable.
Yeah, and I was going to say, what's going to give in this game, it's Geno Smith giving presence to the Dallas Cowboys defense. We are all in unanimous agreement. The Dallas Cowboys will win the game. Gentlemen, let's move on to the watch it, skip it, train wreck. Patrick, do you have anything for us this week?
I guess we're going to just see how this goes.
Another live performance from the Pharrell Williams of the podcast.
Is that coming through?
Yes.
Yep.
Watch it, skip it, trade wreck. That's all I got.
Oh. That's fair.
All right. Well,
sometimes I want it to be really just short and sweet.
All right, fair enough. So, on the docket for this weekend set of games, gentlemen, with the watch it, I have three games to offer you for your viewing pleasure. Up first, I have the Sunday night football game, NFC seeding implications heavily involved in this one, the Philadelphia Eagles against the Detroit Lions. And then we have the Seattle Seahawks, Los Angeles Rams, both jockeying for NFC West supremacy and also trying to jock for position for the two seed, maybe even establish themselves to be able to overtake the Eagles in the one seed should the Eagles fall at any point in the season. And then lastly, an interconference game, NFC AFC matchup here. It should be two quality football teams, two gunslinging quarterbacks. It is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by Baker Mayfield, the Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen. Bills trying to bounce back from a devastating blowout loss to the Miami Dolphins and just trying to not look like frauds this season. Something's got to give. Gentlemen, what are we giving our audience for the most must-watch game of the week? Befke, I know you're going to say the Dallas Cowboys, but is there a number two in your heart?
No.
Not a number two? Okay, fair enough. Patrick, what's your number one?
I think Rams in Seattle is going to be a really good one. And Detroit, Philly is also going to be a really good one. I think those are your two best. Tampa Bay Buffalo is also tough. I don't know. I don't like picking. I'll say Tampa Bay Buffalo.
All right. Well,
I'm hoping that's the best one because those are two fun teams.
I'm going to pick, drum roll, Seattle versus Rams. And the reason being is because this Eagles offense is like pulling teeth. Okay. I hate watching them. It's no fun. There's nothing exciting about a team that is so loaded and they just can't figure it out because Nick Sirianni is a moron and Kevin Petullo has somehow ascended beyond the level of a moron. He's in a new stratosphere of inept and stupid. And this offense, it looks like it's being ran by a combination of the two. So with that, I'm going to go with Seattle, Los Angeles. Those quarterbacks are having pretty good seasons, all right? You could even say Matthew Stafford is also in that conversation for the MVP because he is having one of his best years this late into his career.
First ballot.
He might be first ballot, and he did just crack the 500 mark for his career record, which I didn't know he was that bad. Like, it was that bad for his career record.
They did good to win five games a season.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the thing. You know how I'm going to say this, right? Because I'm going to take this opportunity to bury another quarterback who has a 500 record and is likely to go into the Hall of Fame. He has two Super Bowls. He's a fraud.
First ballot.
He's not first ballot. He's a first ballot jabroni. Okay.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
Not in my eyes. All right. Eli Manning. right? Finished with a 500 record. Never, I don't think he had an all pro. I think he has like one Pro Bowl to his name. He has those two fluky Super Bowls, the flukiest Super Bowls I've ever seen in my life. And you know what? If Matthew Stafford retired today with one Super Bowl, a 500 record, I would preach to the high heavens. I would go to New Jersey, the Meadowlands. I'm going over there with a megaphone, and I'm explaining to them why Matthew Stafford is a no-brainer first ballot Hall of Famer, and why Eli Manning should have to wait a decade to enter the Hall of Fame.
But they're going to both be two-time after this season.
Yes, and that's only going to continue to add to my fuel.
And they're both going to be 2-0 in Super Bowls.
Maybe, yeah. Either way, it doesn't matter. Because Eli Manning sucks. Going to the skip it, okay? We have a lot of games, actually, I felt were not skip-worthy, but these are the ones that were most egregious for various reasons. Miami-Washington, you're going to get two pumpkins playing against each other. One of them is missing their friend.
Season.
What's up?
Tis the season.
For sure. And then you have Tua Tagovailoa against Marcus Mariota. Who wants to watch that? Let's be real. Then you have a game that's going to be most assuredly a blowout. Like, I just feel it in my bones. The New England Patriots going up against the New York Jets. I don't know how the Jets win this unless Drake May and whoever Drake May's backup both have to leave the game and they have to go with a third stringer. And even then, can we really be sure that the Jets could win that game? I don't know. And then Houston versus Tennessee. This is not going to be a fun game. It shouldn't be a fun game. Houston is the most disappointing team in the AFC right now. Maybe you could also argue Kansas City, but a lot of people still think Kansas City has a chance to not just make the playoffs, but win their division, so whatever. And then you have the Titans. Terrible team. Awful. They're in a rebuild again. They're just a dysfunctional franchise. There's no redeeming quality to this matchup. So that said, guys, if you put a gun to my head and you're like, you have to skip this game, you have to advocate for skipping this game. The most disgusting game on this to me is going to be Houston versus Tennessee. But I don't know what you guys say. Patrick?
Hey, I'll go. There's a couple of quick ones that you could skip. I think that Houston, Tennessee, I don't even see that as a train wreck. I think that's just pure skip. And I think that might be the most pure skip on there. Although Arizona, San Francisco is right there with it for me. But I'm going to go with Houston, Tennessee.
There you go. Bethke, I know all these games are awful.
I'm not watching the Hungover Bowl in fucking Miami.
There you go. All right, there we go. Now, gentlemen, I have three games on our train wrecks of the week. First up, the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. They're like, you know, they're like water and oil. They don't mix, right? There's just something about both teams that just feels like when they come to play it against each other, something wacky is going to happen. The Atlanta Falcons are just cursed to have these like football folly moments. And the Carolina Panthers are just a really funny 5-4 team.
I feel like the NFC South has more of a tendency to, you know, they don't have anything like what the NFC East did with the non-repeat thing for a while. But there is always a good chance that a shitty NFC South team can beat a great, even really great NFC South team. Like, they love it. They love to just defy the odds in that division more than almost any other, I think.
And I would agree with you on that. And that's why I think this is the perfect recipe for a potential train wreck football game. The next one, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's a reason there's a saying called Chargers against the Charger. And we know how just hilariously just inept the Jacksonville Jaguars have been as a franchise the last couple of years. And you're watching Trevor Lawrence make some of the dumbest plays you've ever seen him make. And just when you think he can't make a dumber play, he comes back a week or two later and supersedes that. And so in that sense, something's got to give in this game. That's why there's train wreck potential with this matchup. And then lastly, I have the Dallas Cowboys against the Las Vegas Raiders. The Cowboys are a funny team. You don't know what you're going to get from them. I don't know what I'm going to get from them. That's why I struggle to pick their games so much. And then the Raiders are just bad. And so there is just this mixture of potential hilarity that can come from both teams. They could also end with the Dallas Cowboys blowing out the Las Vegas Raiders, and then it's just not really that much of a train wreck.
But it was kind of a bad omen when I said the thing about Dak's mom last Monday night for the last Monday night game, because that really isn't going to feel anywhere near as relevant as this Monday night game.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I haven't gotten all the way to current day yet. I'm through the 2005 season looking at Monday night matchups and trying to find the absolute worst ones ever by record. So this isn't quite there, but it's pretty bad. There's so far in my search dating back to the beginning of Monday Night Football, which was like 1975, I think. No, sorry, 1972. 71. I got a game in here from 71. So dating back between 1971 and 2005, this game would have slotted in as the fifth worst Monday Night Football game of all time, as far as two competitors' records going in.
Well, now, all right.
The worst one I've seen so far was, and most of these are in the 70s because it seems like they kind of figured it out at one point to only put better teams in. But we had the 3-9 Jets versus the 1-11 San Diego Chargers.
I feel like there's also a lot of modern examples too, because I think this has been more of a recent thing too with Monday.
Monday kind of started getting the short end of the stick for a few.
I thought it was last year that Joe and Troy started like kind of low key making fun of how shitty a pool they were getting every week.
Yeah, like I said, I've only gotten through 2005 because I just started that, and it's a little bit of a tedious task, but I'll report full numbers. But this is a pretty rough one in terms of primetime matchup.
Yeah, the records are not good.
You're going to have to watch the Cowboys either way. I don't know why you care. You guys are going to have to watch this team. It does not matter. Like, you guys are – they can go 0-16. And you're still going to have to watch this shit-ass team. It does not matter.
If I go somewhere, I have to watch it.
No. I mean, if you want to watch football in this country, you are not going to get away with getting – like, you're going to have to see this star. It's going to happen. Hope it's them getting killed, but you're going to have to see it.
Unless, which would be very difficult, but it's possible, although I don't see it happening to the Cowboys – but hypothetically, they could be like local blackouts, because I think the NFL still does that.
On Monday Night Football?
Not for Monday Night, no.
Not for Monday Night Football, but, you know, for other games, I guess, I suppose. Although, actually, Patrick, that's something we might have to look into for another episode if Monday Night Football can't be locally blacked out. I'm not sure.
Do they not just throw it on ABC?
Huh?
Do they not just throw it on ABC?
No, it should have just been on ESPN. I mean, if they do dual, that doesn't matter. It's the same company. They only do that in other leagues because, like, you know, Fox Sports Southwest used to show the Rangers, but then if it's the MLB Network or if it's ESPN with baseball, then obviously that's blacked out to the local market, so you watch it on the big network. Same with any other sport.
Okay, yeah, Monday Night Football cannot be locally blacked out. But if it was like a CBS or a Fox Sports affiliate, then yes, could be.
Yeah.
My wish that they'd black it out this week so I don't have to watch it.
Fair. All right. Well, anyway, as far as the train wreck game goes, I think the Panthers and the Falcons are going to be the most likely to be a train wreck watch. Do you guys have a game you want to pick, or do we just want to go on and finish things off with the game of the week?
Vikings-Bears.
Could be.
Could be, yeah.
I just don't. The Vikings are a train wreck now. 10 years, bad luck.
And then obviously Washington, Miami has a honorable mention for.
And we put them on the skip it too. So
yeah, I that one could I could quickly go off the rails between Tua and Marcus Mariota.
True, true. All right. Well, there we go on that. And then as far as game of the week, we had a three-way split for the most must-watch, which is typically where we're going to slot game of the week or where we pick from game of the week. So I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I think the Seattle Seahawks versus the Los Angeles Rams will be game of the week because the implications if for the NFC standings could be greatly impacted by this.
Teams in danger?
What?
It's always sunny implications.
Oh, yes. I was thinking about that when I said the word implication. I can't not think of that bit whenever I say implication now. So, but listen, guys, the Seahawks 7-2. They are technically in first place in the NFC West. You have the Rams also 7-2, right? 1-1 in the division. Seattle Seahawks 2-1 in the division. Now here is where things get a little bit interesting. The Los Angeles Rams have had an AFC heavy schedule to this point. They are 2-2 in the conference. Meanwhile, the Seahawks are 4-2 in the conference. Now you also have to look at other things involving these teams, right? The Rams have lost one to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Seahawks, and let me just pull this up real quick when I talk about the losses that they've had on their schedule. They have lost to the San Francisco 49ers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Seahawks don't have to worry about the Buccaneers as much because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 6-3 with a potential to go 6-4. So now you look at who can be ahead of each of these teams going into the NFC. You're looking at the Philadelphia Eagles in the one spot. Seattle is in the two spot. Los Angeles Rams win this game. They will leapfrog the Seattle Seahawks into the two seed, putting Seattle potentially into the five seed. And depending on the outcomes of the rest of these games, they could maybe move down a little bit more, potentially into the six. So
we're saying these two teams will play again in 5 weeks.
In 5 weeks, yes. And so this is an important one because you don't want to – you basically want to sweep the other team. It will be difficult to sweep the other team, but that's what you want in this situation. And I believe this is a home game for the Rams. So this is the interesting note here. The Seahawks are undefeated on the road. They are 4-0 away from home. The Los Angeles Rams are 3-1. At home. So, and we all know this, the Los Angeles Rams and this applies to the Chargers, they don't have a real home field advantage. They don't have like a real strong fan base in Los Angeles. So, this home game for the Rams might as well just be a neutral field for the Seattle Seahawks. And if anything is to go by their away record, the Seahawks could definitely make this not just into a game, but into a situation where they solidify themselves into that two seed and they are running towards that finish line. Because looking at the rest of their schedule, I'm going to look at the rest of the schedule here. We have for the Seattle Seahawks. After this, they have the Tennessee Titans, Minnesota Vikings, Atlanta Falcons. They have three games they will be favored in. Then they have the Indianapolis Colts. That's an out-of-conference game. It does not matter. And they finish with the Los Angeles Rams at home on a Thursday night game. Anything can happen on a short week. And then they have the Carolina Panthers. They'll be heavily favored in that game. It's an away game. If they keep their away record the way that it is, they're road warriors. You're not worried about that. And then they finish with San Francisco. San Francisco, we still don't know what they are, but they just got blown up by the Rams, and we might just start to see them truly unravel now as they face stiffer competition, the Niners do, within their own conference. Now you look at the Rams, their schedule. Their schedule going forward, you're going to have this tough game, right, on Sunday. Hold on. Oh, it's not loading. Okay, here we go.
I got it for
you. Okay, well, they got Tampa Bay, right? So you have Seattle, Tampa Bay. That's going to be tough. That's going to be a tough back-to-back stretch. Then they have the Panthers, Cardinals. It's a little bit of a reprieve for those two teams. And then they kind of have another tough stretch against Detroit, Seattle again, and their schedule lightens a bit with Atlanta and Arizona. So that last matchup, that Seattle Seahawks have the easier road to winning the division, potentially getting the two seed, maybe even having the one seed, because I'm going to bring up Philadelphia's schedule here as we look into see how they will fare on the road to trying to secure home field advantage in the playoffs. Philadelphia's had a tough schedule up to this point, right? But now the back half of their schedule is looking a lot lighter with games again after Detroit. You have games against Dallas, Chicago. You have an out-of-conference game against the Chargers. Again, these out-of-conference games do not matter in the grand scheme of things. Then you have the Raiders, Washington, Buffalo, Washington. There are some tough matchups in there, but you also have some gimmies or games that can be perceived as gimmies. So this is why this is the game of the week. There's so much on the line in this one game, and that's what makes the NFL so exciting. These limited number of games, the closer you get to the end of the season, the more each one matters more and more. And with that, gentlemen, we are done with the NFL segment. We can call it a night. And, Patrick, take us
home. It's a good time to hit the button, right?
What is this?
Why is that